Cupid Bullis Flower, written by A Smoked Apple Course, read by Mistborn Hero. A The Hotel Podfic, rated explicit. Featuring the relationship, the lovey boy, the manager, the owner. It is tagged for sex pollen, mildly dubious consent. Lovey boy asks for what he needs, but it is still sex pollen. Handjobs, anal fingering, dry humping. Greetings, listeners. Love is once more in the air, whether you like it or not. This is our annual public service announcement. Make sure to kill any Cupid bows you see on your property. This plant is easy to spot thanks to its lovely, vibrant green heart-shaped leaves, trumpet-like flowers, and potent aphrodisiac pollen. Remember to kill it before it blossoms, otherwise it can, and will, spray you if startled. Look out for bees and other pollen insects, as they will defend the flower at all costs.
My blood runs cold as I look up from the desk. In the window by the front door is a variety of potted plants. Among the aloes, jade plants, and a small cacti is an impressive plant. Its large, full leaves droop, looking more like arrows than hearts. At the top of a thin stalk is a beautiful orange flower that points into the lobby, towards the front desk. I grab the phone and call back to the owner's office.
What is it?
Do you have the radio on?
No. I am filling out permits for repaving. Why?
Remember how you said we need more greenery in the lobby?
Yes. Did the lobby boy forget to water them?
No. They are doing quite well, but there is one that needs to be gotten rid of. It is the one you potted.
What is wrong with it? It is nice, and it was free, growing right in our courtyard.
Yes, but it is also able to spray pollen that will create some interesting problems if it gets on us. He is silent on the other end, probably trying to decide if he wants to know what sorts of problems it will cause.
I'll be right out.
I hear the creak of his door opening, then his footsteps up the narrow hallway. I remain seated at my desk. We've been here long enough that I know it is best to remain still, rather than move when I see or hear something mentioned in the PSAs. He stands beside me. I think the plant moves, turning its open trumpet towards my desk.
What are the interesting problems?
It is called Cupid's bow, and it is an aphrodisiac.
Aphrodisiac. It will arouse us. What's the problem with that?
It is uncontrollable, from my understanding. Cecil didn't say how long it lasts, or how arousing it is. But if he is warning us, I doubt very much it will be a short event. He shifts from one leg to the other, trying to decide if he dares approach it. He moves quietly around the desk, sliding closer to the front window. The plant doesn't move. He is approaching the couch when the trumpet twists to face him. He freezes in place. The flower remains still, but the vibrant leaves rustle. The owner carefully backs away from the couch and returns to my desk.
What should we do?
He hisses in a low whisper, as if the plant can hear us.
We can't be held hostage by a plant. We have a business to run.
We can use the side door to get out. I'm more concerned for anyone trying to come through the front door. We can pin a sign to it. Tell the guests to use the side door.
How can we get rid of it? Can't we just throw a bag over it and toss it in the dumpster?
You think you're fast enough to get to it before it sprays you? He grunts at me, tapping his fingers on the counter. We stare at the plant as it slowly twists back to face the front desk. I open a document and begin typing out the sign for the door. Owner stares over my shoulder and reads out loud.
Notice. Please use the side door to the right of the building. Waiting for a dangerous plant to die. Management. What about the other plants? We're just going to let them die because of this one?
You dug it up. You can go and deal with it.
You really think it's a good idea that I, a 7-foot-tall man that weighs 400 pounds, should risk getting sprayed by a plant that makes you uncontrollably horny?
I snort at him. You'd be begging to be fucked instead of trying to fuck us. Don't flatter yourself. What are you two talking about? Our eyes shoot up when we see the lovey boy has come through the front door. I go to shout, but it is too late. The cupid's bow has swung around to face him. He follows our eyeline and sees the plant leaning forward on its stalk, slightly below his chin. He tries to turn away as the plant sprays him with yellow powder. He ducks down, but the pollen is in his hair and on his face. The owner rushes out with my garbage bin and slides it towards the lovey boy.
Quickly, throw it in here and tie the bag shut.
The lovey boy is coughing, but manages to grab the bin and slip his hand behind the pot. The plant crashes in, and he hurriedly ties it shut. We rush to him, his skin freckled with the pollen, like a fine spray of jello paint.
Lovey boy, are you okay?
I ask, reaching for him before owner puts a hand out to stop me.
You need to go and shower now. Come on.
Lovey boy races shakily, clutching the garbage bin to his chest.
What is it? Will I die?
He asks with a tremor in his voice.
No. We need to hose you off. Bring the plant with you.
We go out the front door and round the side. Owner janks out the garden hose and starts spraying Lovey Boy. He gasps as the cold water strikes him, wincing as it hits his face.
Bend over,
owner commands.
We need to rinse it out of your hair. Manager, get a towel and clean clothes.
I quickly dart across the courtyard to room 2, running back with a bundle in my arms. By the time I've returned, Lovey Boy is standing, soaked and shaking in his underwear. I toss him the towel, and he dries off, tying it around his waist before doffing his wet boxers. He picks up his sodden clothing and the garbage bin, throwing them into the dumpster before pulling on the dry clothing. Owner rinses his hands once more, just to be safe. We return to the lobby and enter the small kitchenette. I grab some orange juice for Lovey Boy. He sits down at the table and sighs. His skin is flushed. How are you feeling? I ask as I press the cool glass into his hands.
I feel fine, I think.
I don't know. He gulps down the juice, happy to avoid talking. I look to the owner. Should we tell him what the plant was? Or hope that Cecile was being her perverse about the effects of the plant? He puts the empty cup on the table and brushes his hands through his hair, pushing it out of his eyes. He drops his hands back over his eyes and rubs them, taking a shaky breath. Did you get some in your eyes?
No. I... Something is wrong.
He is panting. He keeps his face in his hands, trying to breathe evenly. I rise and run to the desk to call poison control. Lovey Boy is squirming in his seat. He pulls at the neck of his shirt, trying to fan air down to his sweaty chest. His eyes are closed as he tilts his head back to lean on the wall. He whimpers softly as his face darkens a shade. He struggles to talk, each word a hurdle to try and force it out.
What happened? The plant is an aphrodisiac. You'll be okay. You just need to ride it out.
He makes a frustrated noise and rubs his face, trying to regain some composure.
How long?
He manages to get out through gritted teeth. Poison control said maybe a few hours. You should go lay down. He nods and tries to stand, swaying on weak legs. He grips the table and steadies his breathing, trying to remain calm.
Let me help you.
Owner reaches out and touches the Lovey Boy's bare arm. He moans hoarsely at the contact. His legs give out under him as he sinks to the floor.
It's too...
He whimpers and covers his face again. Poison control said heightened sensation is a side effect. I pipe up. Owner glares at me.
How can I help him if I can't touch him?
I shrug. You can touch him. Just move fast so the guests don't hear. He glowers at me before scooping Lovey Boy off the floor. The Lovey Boy cries out when he feels the owner's hand on his skin again, struggling briefly before wrapping his arms around the owner's neck. He pulls himself up and tries to kiss him. The owner tilts his head back.
No, you're not all here. Manager, watch the desk. We'll keep an eye on him in shifts.
With that, he marches away with the shaking and moaning man. I hope he can handle him.
Hello again, dear listeners. I forget that some people are new to our little desert community. Radio management has requested that I reiterate the effects of Cupid's bow to lessen the number of calls to poison control from 1 to 0. The effects of the plant include increased heart rate, flushed skin, sweating, need for skin-to-skin contact, and of course, a strong desire for something that isn't appropriate to talk about on daytime radio. The effects can last from a few minutes to several hours, depending on how much pollen the person has inhaled, touched, or consumed. The record was 26 hours, when a local man ate the flower after it sprayed him. It would have been longer, but unfortunately, he was driven, quite literally, mad with passion. Remember to be careful in this trying February season. Also, a reminder that today you can order the Heinz of Valentine pizza from Big Rico's Pizza. The toppings include... I glare at the radio that has taken up lodging in the windowsill from room 2. It clicks off and drops its antenna down. I place the Lovey Boy on the bed and sit down at the small table by the door. After a moment's thought, I rise again and lock the door. I don't want him making a run for it and possibly attacking a guest in a fit of arousal. He lays on the bed for a long time, hands pressed over his face while he takes long, slow inhales. I run cold water over a face cloth and drop it over his hands. Cool yourself off. He doesn't respond as he drapes it onto his face and keeps up his paced breathing. I relax back into the chair, not sure what to do now. He is safe. I am watching him. She will watch him later. I figure it will be easy to keep him in place. He collapsed from a slight touch and was moaning the whole time I carried him here. I shift, thinking about how desperate he seemed when he tried to kiss me. I know he's not in his right mind. He would never try to do something that affectionate outside of this room. I want to comfort him, but I don't want to work him up either. What can I do?
Owner?
He whispers out.
Help me?
I can't help you. You're too afflicted for it to be right. He's twisting on the bed, trying to roll over onto his stomach. He manages to slide to the edge of the bed
and swing his feet to the ground. A brief moment he stands before letting himself fall back onto the bed with a groan. He slides to the floor. I shift back as he slowly crawls towards me. His hands are on my knees, pulling himself to look at me. His face is flushed red and hair is sticking to the sweat. His eyes are wet with dilated pupils that look at me pleadingly. Please! I have to be strong. I won't have sex with you. He lets his head drop against my leg as he pants. I feel his hands dig in as he forces himself up. His hands grip my shirt and he rises and manages to climb into my lap. He whimpers as he nuzzles his face into my chest, moaning when he moves higher to press his hot, sweaty skin to my warm neck. I sit paralyzed. Should I put him back on the bed or let him sit here with me? Lobby boy, I said I... No sex! He pants out, struggling to unbutton my shirt. I remain still, listening to his frustrated noises until he finally has it undone. He shakily pulls his shirt off and presses into me. No sex, he pants out, struggling to unbutton my shirt. I remain still, listening to his frustrated noises until he finally has it undone. He shakily pulls his shirt off and presses into me, letting out another hoarse moan when his skin touches mine. I don't want to admit that I like how clingy he is right now, desperate for contact. I gently press my hands to his sweaty back, pulling more breathy cries out of him. I don't want to admit how aroused I am. He shifts further up my lap, pressing his groin against me. He is erect, of course he is. He got hit in the face with that stupid plant I dug up. He begins rocking against me, shuddering and moaning at the pressure. Lobby boy, I... Please, let me... He sounds like he could cry. I know he needs release, so I pull him flush to me. He lets out a strangled cry, his thin nails biting into my shoulders as he gets louder with each press to my body. He tries to buck faster, but his hips are already moving erratically. He is crying and trying to talk before he tenses and sobs. He relaxes slightly in my arms, moaning and sniffling as he comes back slightly. But it doesn't last. He is kissing my neck and I twist away. No sex until you've recovered. I lift him and put him back on the bed. I open his drawer and pull out more clean clothing. his wriggling out of his pants and underwear as I threw fresh boxers onto his lap. His eyes are closed again as I take the old clothes and throw them into the hamper. When I return, he's slipped the clean boxers on, but looks awful. His body is flushed, and sweat is prickling all over his chest and face. He looks up at me, still as aroused as before, and puts his arms out to me. I pull my shirt off and lay down beside him. He clings to me, moaning against the contact. I try to keep him on the bed, but he manages to worm his way into my arms and on top of me. He is grinding down on me, high whines escaping with each desperate stroke. This is going to be a long shift.
I sit at the desk and continue to manage the motel. I check in guests. I check out guests. I keep staring out the lobby window to room 2, hoping it is going well. Owner seemed less than thrilled when lobby boy tried to kiss him. I hadn't thought that this was like a sin, one that we can't intrude on with our own wants. I make dinner while thinking this is over and what I can do to help him. Food and water are important. Hopefully, he settles down in the few hours he's had with the owner. I stack the plates onto a tray and head across to room 2. I tap on the door and hear rapid steps. The owner throws the door open, looking at me desperately. His shirt is off, his skin is sweaty, and his hair is disheveled. I can smell sex. He hurriedly pushes me out of the way and slams the door behind him.
"You didn't!"
I hiss through narrowed eyes. I can't believe how weak he is.
"No, not fully. There were barriers between us, and I didn't let him touch me."
"Barriers? You mean condoms?"
"No. I stayed mostly clothed, and he moved on his own, humping me. He's still going strong."
He looks nervously back at the door. "What do you mean?"
"I'll man the desk."
It is after 6. I locked up the lobby. He grabs a plate of food and takes the keys sitting on the tray.
"That's fine. Have a good night."
"Don't you need a shirt to be working?" I call out after him, but he's already rushing across the courtyard. I watch him scramble with the keys and then disappear into the dark interior of the main building. I sigh. He is so dramatic. I gently push the door open. He is on me as soon as I am in the room. He's kneeling and has me by the waist, pushing my shirt up with hot, sweaty hands as I try to balance and put the tray on the table. He must have moved over to the door while I was talking to the owner. I hadn't thought about how strong he's gotten over the months.
Lobby boy, let go of me.
I press my hand to his face and push him off balance. After another brief struggle to escape his grasp, I force him to sit down to eat and drink. He drinks 2 bottles of water before he tries to hold me again. I slap his hands away. He's never tried to touch me without asking first. I said no touching until you behave and do what I say. He whimpers, but seems to be listening. Go to the bathroom and have a shower. Put on clean clothes. Not just underwear. He nods weakly and shakily closes the door between us. I survey the room after I hear the shower start. The sheets are a mess, and they will have to be changed. The smell of sweat and semen is so strong that I am tempted to open a window. I decide against it. I don't want another noise complaint. I pull a fresh cover out of the closet and spread it out. It will have to do, if I am spending the night with him. The shower turns off, and he comes out in a towel that is denting his groin. He struggles into the clothes I laid out, jeans and a long sleeve to minimize skin contact. He looks up at me pathetically. I can see he's been past the point of talking for a while now. Grin? He nods and holds out his arms again. Sweat is already standing out in his flushed forehead. I shake my head and point to the bed. Lay down. I am also not going to have sex with you. He sniffles, but does as he is told. I turn on the air conditioner and sit down in the chair furthest from the bed. He is panting and looking at the ceiling, clutching the bed cover. I pick up my notepad from the table and begin jotting down my thoughts on this event. I want to be able to keep track of the oddities of this town we live in. While the librarians were awful, this may rank higher. I didn't mind slashing at that horrible creature, but I love my lovey boy. I don't want to hurt him. He is whimpering and covering his face when I look up from my writing. What is wrong? Do you want more water? His breath is shaking, and I know he is about to cry. I lean back in my chair. I know you don't like this, but it is for the best, okay? I don't want to take advantage of you when you can't say no. He rolls onto his side away from me and begins to weep. My heart breaks a little, but I won't be like the owner and crumble. I slip carefully out of my chair and move to the bed. I lightly rest a hand on his shoulder, and he shivers at my touch. I am happy there is a layer of clothing keeping him from being overstimulated. I go to speak when his hand whips up and grabs me, pressing my palm to his face. I feel the hot tears as he moans at the contact. I want to pull my hand away, but when he rolls onto his back and I see his bleeding eyes, I'm under him. His long legs bracket my thigh as he grinds onto it. His breath is hot in my ear and he whimpers, desperate for something that still hasn't come. He's picking up speed, panting as he tries to find that release he wants. His face is pressed into my neck as he shudders through another orgasm. I brush a hand over his neck and he shivers, his body acting on its own now as he begins grinding into me again. How many orgasms has he had? You need to change out of those clothes. I push on his shoulder when I remember he can't think reasonably. He falls back onto the bed, panting, grasping when I shove his sweat-drenched shirt up his torso. His pants are harder to get off. I regret putting him in jeans, as they stick to his skin. He is getting tired. I can see the moon has moved out of sight of the window. I am hoping the pollen has run most of its course as he lays there, naked and panting. Get up. Time for another shower. You need it. He wearily gets up, struggling to stand from exhaustion instead of arousal. I call the front desk.
Hello, Starlight Motel.
Comes a cheery voice over the line.
How can I?
You fucker. I growl. We have color ID. I know you can see it's me calling. He lets out a husky laugh.
You sound guilty. Were you also weak?
Yes, but with two layers of clothing.
How impressive. Are you tired? Want me to cover for the rest of the night?
I've been here twice as long as you. I rest my hand over my good eye. How much longer can this go on for?
Cecil said 26 hours was the record. Another possible 17 hours to go.
My mind reels. It's been 9 hours? 9 fucking hours? How has he not been overstimulated yet?
I guess he's gone past overstimulation into whatever this is.
I sigh and let myself fall back on the bed. I feel my pants stick to my leg, a large wet spot where my lobby boy was grinding against me. We have to do something. We have to find a way to end this. I have to work in the morning.
Well?
I can almost picture him leaning back in my chair, a grin spreading across his face.
I haven't been sitting in the lobby without purpose. I have been researching.
He tells me what he's found, and I close my eyes. How long have you known that?
Oh, around hour 4, I wanted you to have the chance to prove you're better at handling him. You are the manager, after all.
Come here now. We are ending this.
Yes, ma'am.
Search results for Cupid's Bow Poisoning. How to treat. Enter. Cupid's Bow Plant. Center for Disease Control. Welcome to Night Vale. An intense orgasm has been shown to be effective cure for poisoning. Studies show the pollen attaches to the dopamine receptors in the brain, an agonist link between dopamine and oxytocin receptors. By having a flood of dopamine and oxytocin released, the pollen is essentially flushed from the system. Things have been hazy. I remember looking at the plant and being washed with the hose and cold orange juice. But then part of my mind started going. It went to where I send the scared parts of me when we are doing scenes. When I need those parts of me to be quiet so I can enjoy myself. I remember my skin was tight and I tried to kiss them. The owner and the manager. They wouldn't let me. Like it was a sin, but I didn't know what the rules were. I remember how nice I felt when they touched my skin, how loud I was when they let me push against them. Owner let me sit in his lap, let me pull his shirt open so I could press closer. Manager wouldn't let me, making me cover up, but she allowed me to grind against her. But this wasn't right. Something was wrong. I couldn't stop pressing against them. My body needed more. It felt like each climax was supposed to be building to something bigger. I was getting frustrated and the haze wasn't clearing. I know, I cried. I am in the bathroom now, and they are around me. She makes me drink more water. They touch my hot skin and I moan, eager to let them have me. She is talking to me, holding my face and making me look into her eyes. I moan at the contact. Lobby boy, I need you to hear me, okay? We are going to help you, but you have to tell us exactly what you want us to do. Do you understand?
I nod weakly, fighting against the haze.
What do you want?
I struggle to force my mouth to work. I have to tell her I am here and I understand. I curl in and cover my face. I have to get the words out. I stutter out what I need. It feels like forever, and my skin is so tight, making it hard to speak.
Good.
She tips my head back
and runs her hands down my throat before kissing me. He is kneeling and rubbing his hands up my thighs, making me whimper into the kiss. I gasp when he takes me in his hand. I desperately cling onto them, crying out their names as she licks and bites my neck and he pumps me. I come again, loudly. I hear a banging noise and the owner stands up, slamming his fist against the wall, shouting back. He turns back and lifts me, carrying me into the bedroom. He places me on the bed. They are on me again, telling me what they are going to do before each step. I feel pressure on my eyes as they put the blindfold on. There is a click, and the radio is playing static. It's too loud. They caress me, touching me all over, kissing me. I'm crying again. I don't know why I am crying. I feel them press inside me, making me gel as they touch my prostrate. There is banging sounds on the wall. A hand is around my aching cock. The sensations are too much, and I am being ripped apart. I am being pulled further out of myself. I don't know if I can come back. It is too much, and I scream. It is quiet again. The room is dark as I gasp back into my body. The blindfold is off, and the radio is silent. They are calming me, brushing my hair out of my eyes as I shake, and I feel myself returning. I try to talk, but they hush me, holding me as I take in shuddering breaths. He gets up and comes back with the cold washcloth. It feels so good, and I sigh. They keep talking to me as I struggle up, dizzy from the experience. She makes me drink more water, and I'm in the bathroom again, sitting in the tub as the shower washes away my sweat and the haze. I'm being hugged from behind. It must be the manager. The owner is too tall for us both to fit in it. I return more, feeling my mind clear. I remember what happened over the past hours. I feel my face burning in shame, knowing what I tried to do to them. I am back in the bedroom. One of the owner's shirts is being pulled over my head. I try to apologize for what I did, but they quiet me again. They tell me it's okay and that I didn't do anything wrong. The owner comforts me as I stutter out a thank you. I push myself under the sheets, horrified when I see how late it is. I try to apologize again, but they hug me closer.
"How are you feeling?"
she whispers, touching my cool skin. "Tired,"
could. Was there banging on the wall?
Yes.
Owner replies, his chin resting on my head.
We need to stop renting out room one. This will be the fifth or sixth noise complaint.
Manager laughs softly.
We'll have to sneak out in the morning. Don't want them knowing it's us making the noise.
I moan softly and press my hands to my face. Having so many noise complaints against me is embarrassing. But now I can feel the last of the haze being replaced by exhaustion, and I fall asleep.
The end. This has been recorded for Polypod Week 2025. It is so very different from my usual narration style to try to match, like, the vibes of everyone. But it's also a lot of fun. I opened the background music for each so that I could listen as I recorded, which I think helped me keep the vibe, like, the right vibe of the character. I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you for your time, and please remember to drink some water today.